and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we resume this evening with 2 Peter 3, verse 3. 2 Peter 3, 3. All right, we're here. You're here physically. To be here spiritually, you got to be in fellowship. You could walk in here out of fellowship for some reason. Put it aside. We are to lay aside these things through the rebound technique and press on spiritually. All of us are supposed to do that under all kinds of circumstances in our lives. When everything's going well or when everything isn't going so well, we are supposed to be and stay in fellowship so that we can glorify God and produce divine good and now learn Bible doctrine. Let us pray. Once again, Heavenly Father, we come before the throne of your grace, thanking you for all that you do for us, all that you provide us with, all the protection, everything seen and unseen, so that we can continue to move forward to the upward call. Bless this Bible class to that end, in Christ's name, amen. All right, last night we noted, I'll just reread the two verses that we covered last night. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of a reminder. This letter is designed to stir them up. You can only stir them up if they have a background. They had a background. They had at least a basic background in the fundamentals of the faith, including the prophetic scenario. No, they did not have the details we have, because we have the completed canon of Scripture for one thing. And we have had a lot of history and a lot of time to pursue this information and add and subtract and do whatever we had to do to get the picture the way we're supposed to. And he refers to this, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets, the Old Testament canon and the Old Testament tradition, and the commandment of our Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. All right, they carried it forward. Okay, verse 3 is a prophetic reference. So you can add this if you don't already know it, or you will be refreshed with regard to the fact that this is a prophetic revelation. Knowing this first of all, this is meaning first proton. Here, this, the pronoun, this is a matter of first importance. Know is the present participle. Knowing this, first of all, that in the last days, that in the eschatos, we get our word eschatology, the doctrine of last things in systematic theology. Eschatos, last, and biblical eschatology. That in the last days, plural, mockers will come. The word mocker is a noun, empiketes. It is one who makes fun of another, a scoffer, a mocker, here and in the parallel passage of Jude 18. When we say Jude 18, it's because there's one chapter and we don't have to say chapter 1. It's just verses 1 through. Mockers will come with their mocking. They will come with, and this particular word is different, with their mocking. The word mocking here is the another hapax, epigomone. It means ridicule, mocking, with mocking, with their mocking, following, Present participle of paruomai means to go or proceed, excuse me. Their own, this is one's own, the adjective, idios, with their own lusts. We keep seeing the word lust popping up. Epithumia, with their own lusts. One, this section, running through verse 13, constitutes what commentators have referred to as Peter's little apocalypse. Herein, Peter singles out what he considers especially relevant from the apostolic prophetic tradition. This has been handed down to us so that we can latch on to it and become fully aware of the attacks that are out there with regard to the coming of the Lord. The section begins with a prophetic assertion with respect to the false teachers exposed in chapter 2. This class of individuals, this category of individuals. Now, they're not all the same. They have different bents and different approaches, but they're all in one category. They are heretics. They are people who attack Christianity. They infiltrate and try to upset and are successful in upsetting good believers. The words, "know this first of all," are identical to the phrase that opens verse 20 of chapter 1. The phrase is literally, "know this as a matter of first importance." And that's what I want you to do today, tonight. Walk away from here with this firmly in your head. You probably already know it. You've already been exposed to it at one level or another. Maybe in the workplace. Maybe something you read. Maybe even in some organization you once were a part of. Or in music. Or wherever it comes forth. And if you're in the college environment, well, you can hit it there real easy. Some of these people that are mockers are parading around in the name of "we're Christians" and all these denominations. The time of their appearance, of these mockers, is, he says, in the last days. The phrase "in the last days" occurs 5 times. And I might add, it refers to the entire dispensation of which we're a part, not just some final days right at the end. Every believer, people have lived through the last days. Here's the thing to have as your background, and I've said it before. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead and ascended on high, This is the strategic victory in the angelic conflict. This breaks the enemy's back. All the way up to that point, Satan was doing everything he could to try to shut down the coming of the Lord. The Genesis 6 episode, infiltration of angels with women in the human race, producing the hybrids that are mentioned. In mythology, distorted, but mentioned in mythology. It's all through ancient mythology that the gods could come down and have intercourse with women and produce these Hercules, whatever, the Titans, on and on and on and on and on it goes. It didn't happen after the flood, but that's what they were doing. So that was an attempt to contaminate true humanity, because the Messiah had to be true humanity and not having his genetics, angelic genetics. It's one of the wildest things you'll ever hear in the Bible, but it's straightforward. We covered it in Peter. He dealt with it, this attack. Then after the flood, we start over again, and the attacks on the line of Christ continued all through time. And at his advent, that's why Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, 15 months old, had to leave Bethlehem and go into exile in Egypt because of the maniac Herod, the paranoid maniac Herod, the so-called great, before they were called back up out of Egypt. Look, when you're on the glory road, I'll call it that, positive volition to the end. Some people get on it, then they jump off, take an exit. When you're on the glory road, you have inconveniences. Here's the Son of God. Okay, he's a baby. He's still the Son of God. The Persian wise men said that. They bowed down before him and worshipped a 15-month-old infant. And they didn't do anything wrong. They figured it out, and they're clear over in Persia. And the top leaders of the Jews, it was a few of the lower class. When I say lower class, I mean shepherds and others who had it figured out. Here we go back to the story of the minority. Had it figured out. So this attack continued. Satan tried to attack him at the beginning of his public ministry by tripping him up with a series of temptations. Three of them. And he passed the test on every one of them by quoting scripture. All the way, things were happening to try to negate and overturn Christ's mission on earth at the first advent. It didn't work. Obviously. So the strategic victory of the angelic conflict is that Jesus Christ came up from the grave and is glorified at the right hand of the Father. Now we just have to wait for, using a military term, now we have to wait for the tactical victory. It's going to happen when all the forces of darkness are defeated. But they will continue to attack, to try to upset believers and to negate and speak against the prophetic word of God. They call them mockers. Some of these are professionals who have been educated and trained in religion or philosophy or what, or they're just somebody out of the woodwork. I see it from time to time and I don't go looking for it. Oh, there's another mocker. So the expression in the last days, we are this side of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're on the strategic victory. In a military deal, if you have a strategic advantage in a battle, it's pretty certain that you're going to go on to have a tactical victory. Strategy and tactics. Again, the expression occurs these five times in the last days in the New Testament. Point 8. Point 9. The expression occurs in the parallel to this verse in Jude 8. They were saying to you, in the last time shall be mockers, following after their own lusts. In the Old Testament, the equivalent expression occurs in those prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, and Micah. The expression latter days occurs in Deuteronomy 4:30, 31:29, Job 42:12, Jeremiah 30:24, 48:47, Daniel 2:28, 10:14, and compare latter years of Ezekiel 38:8, also latter period of Daniel 8:23. First John 2:18 has the expression, it is the last hour. The word hour and day are used literally and for more time. I've gone into that in certain verses where you're dealing with it. We do that in speech too. So based on Hebrews 1:2, in these last days, has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things. Christ inherits everything. Everything. We're a part of His inheritance. We share in His inheritance because we are children of God. And that inheritance includes those things God has promised to us: eternal salvation, a resurrection body, and eternal rewards. Christ is the heir of all things, through whom He made the world. I've said that over and over. The agent of creation is the second person of the Godhead, who became in time the God-man, the hypostatic union in technical theological terminology. Hypostasis means to stand under. You got His humanity and you got His deity. His humanity is now glorified. He is the heir of all things. Peter's prophecy of the rise of the liberal mockers began in the Alpha Church and continues through the centuries, and mushrooms in the Omega Church. We're the Omega Church. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and the last letter is Omega. Jesus is, one of His titles is, I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Only He can say that. He's eternal God, His deity, His humanity plugs into it in the hypostatic union, and that goes on forever. There's a separate doctrine, the doctrine of the hypostatic union. All the time He was on earth, Jesus Christ grew up from a baby to an adult, teenager, adult. He grew up. And He studied the Scriptures. And I don't know when, but at some early age, He figured out who He was. Well, He could have been told by His mother and His father, His legal father. He could have been told. Imagine, I'll just pick an age. I'll pick the only time His life is mentioned after His birth, before He goes out on His public ministry, is when He was 12. And His parents were on holiday, Passover, and they went up to Jerusalem from Nazareth. And they lost Him. He got separated from them. And they're running around panicking, trying to find Him. They looked in all the wrong places. He was in the temple talking doctrine with the sages, the men who could discuss the Scripture with some intelligence. And they were amazed at His answers. But he always low-keyed it. This wasn't the time to come out in the open and tell all your friends, I'm God. Are you kidding me? It said He grew in stature and He grew in wisdom. Just see, yet without sin. This is our true doctrine of who and what Jesus Christ is. There's many presentations of another Jesus out there, disinformation, as we would expect. People get their impression of Jesus looking at some painting, long hair. He didn't have long hair. The only males that had long hair legitimately in Israel were the Nazarites. And He wasn't a Nazarite. Because He was from Nazareth, doesn't make Him a Nazarite. He wasn't under a Nazarite vow. Nazarites could not drink wine. He drank wine. So He didn't take a Nazarite vow. John the Baptist did, but he didn't. Just threw that in. In the book of James, he refers to the church age, interestingly, the Alpha and the Omega church and everything in between, all these centuries from the apostolic era to our rapture generation era. We can mark that with the rebirth of Israel. That's safe. You know what he calls this? The early and the latter rains. Well, if you don't have a frame of reference to that, you know what it's talking about. It's the normal rain pattern in Israel. They depended on early spring rains. And then between that and at the end of summer, they got the latter rains. Because there's crops that come early and those later down the deal. And in between was lesser rain. So they had in a normal, healthy year for their crops, they had the early and the latter rains. So what's that? Doctrine coming down. Doctrine. And in the early and the latter rains, it's heavy. It's more heavy duty than any of these in-between times. That doesn't mean there wasn't any rain in between. It just means that this is the heavy rains in the early part of their agricultural cycle and the end of it. We're in the latter rains. It has nothing to do with the number of people that are interested in sound doctrine. It has to do with the fact that in the angelic conflict, it is being taught from a pulpit like this one. So, we now are in the intensification of the last days, where all the prophetic trends are greatly magnified. Greatly magnified. Maybe this isn't any fun to hear, but this is what you need to hear. What's magnified? Wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be a war between the United States and Russia. North Korea is going to attack. Blah, 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 blah. They do. All these rumors are out there. All these pundits. They don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring. But there will be wars and rumors of wars. We've had more wars since we fought the war to end all wars. What a joke. Woodrow Wilson, the president at that time. Woodrow Wilson. I think he was a Presbyterian. Maybe an Episcopalian. I don't know. I'd have to go look that up. But he was identified with a American Christian denomination. I guess they didn't teach him, did they? See, this is all plagues. There's nature-made plagues, and now we're finding out there's human-made plagues. They can make them in labs, and they can tailor-make them to genetically fit certain types of people. And release them. And do all they can do. Oh, we wouldn't do that. Biological warfare. These biolabs exist. There's a bunch of them in Ukraine. Americans run them. Earthquakes. Whoa. Tell me about it. Somebody said they had an app and they had to put it up on higher earthquakes because it was going off all the time. Small ones and big ones. And earthquakes in various places. Some places you don't normally hear about them. They're cranking up. Some places they're like people are sitting on a time bomb. This is one of the big faults. And if this thing goes, whole cities will perish. We've had a couple of them here. Whether they are, and I even read that they can trigger certain spots and cause them. I don't know. I wouldn't doubt it. These are the same people that want to manipulate the weather, but they don't want to do it to help us out in droughts. No. So there is both man-made and God-generated things, earthquakes, famines. They're trying to create a great food shortage worldwide. According to the guy that's the head of the World Economic Forum in 2025. Famines. There are places on the earth where people are suffering with a lack of food. False Christs, fake messiahs, people claiming they're Christ, We've seen it in our history. False prophets just coming out of the woodwork. And of course, the epitome of a false prophet and a false Christ is going to be the Antichrist and his associate, the false prophet of your book of Revelation. And I think we know who they are. Oh, I know we know who they are. I'm certain I know who the Antichrist is. I got documentation. And it's right from Scripture. And all the talk about the search for Alexander and the stuff in the news, if you're in the right places, you see them. I haven't seen them lately, but they were putting out all kinds of stuff about life, the life and times of Alexander and the search for his remains. And I keep an open mind, but it may be in that Catholic church in Italy. Vienna, Italy. You can look it up online if you have time to play around with it. So living in the dawn of the day of the Lord, we are witnesses to the crescendo of prophetic realization. 17, some realizations, on the other hand, are new to the last days. Israel's restoration. When Peter and all them were around, Israel was still a nation. It was about to go down, because we dated this the mid-60s, around 68. John, the apostle, he lived to see it. This was prophesied. So, there's all these things that had to be in place. They are new to the last of the last days. Israel's restoration. Oh, and there's things in the Bible that would make zero sense to someone reading it down through these centuries from the apostles to the present. Technology. It wasn't developed yet. And I will include at the top of the list the mark of the beast, which always bugged me all over the place. Until I heard people talking about hacking human volition. So you're just a robot. Some prophecies started developing early on, but later than the apostolic era. I'm just throwing these out. Notably, the rise of monasticism. That's where we get monks. These people that live with a vow of chastity and non-marriage. There's nowhere in the New Testament that tells anybody to do that. Yes, Paul wasn't married, but it was just about his niche. He wasn't some monk. He wasn't in some order. It didn't make you more holy. This occurred in the 3rd and 4th centuries and on to the present. And it talks about this in 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. Forbidding marriage. Who's forbidding marriage? Well, if you want to be a Catholic priest and operate in that system, that's the ones I'd tab. Forbidding marriage. Forbidding the eating of certain foods. My Catholic friend back in the day wasn't supposed to eat any kind of meat on Friday. Fish. Nowhere in the Bible does that say. So there's your verse documenting those kind of people. The appearance of the mockers, instead of demoralizing informed believers, actually strengthens their faith. Yeah, when you hear it, yeah, there we go. Yeah, it's sad that someone has to do this. It's disgusting, but the fact is, it's encouraging. The expression mockers with their mocking is redundant and constitutes one of the Hebraisms of this letter. A Hebrew way of expressing things. But it's brought here into the Greek. Mockers with their mocking. Mockers constitutes anyone who makes fun of, puts down, scorns, or in any fashion depreciates the promise of Christ's coming. Any of them. Many make a profession of attacking the integrity of scriptures. Scholars, clergy, and all the rest of them. All kinds of forums are used to engage in this blasphemous, arrogant business. The wording of the present verse is virtually mirrored in the parallel of Jude 8, where derision of the faith is linked with STA lust. Now, it may take a minute for you. It may take a minute for you to figure this out. How this is listed to lust. Because if you don't believe that the Lord is coming and there's going to be a future judgment of any kind, then you can run amok under your STA. See? Promising them freedom. Oh, you don't have to go by those old rules, blah, 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 and the Bible stuff. We'll see. So they depreciate that. In Jude, the prophecy is linked to the apostolic witness, but here is linked to the Old Testament tradition. Peter cites no specific Old Testament passage. He is voicing the general Hebrew Christian expectation that the last days will be marked by a moral and doctrinal breakdown and the emergence of these subversives like never before. They can put it in movies. Somebody said there's a new movie, a Christmas one about Mary. I'll bet that's wonderful. They had one about Noah's flood. It was sick. These aren't just the ones they played fast and loose with in the old movies, the Exodus out of Egypt and the first advent of Christ. Yeah, there's all goofy stuff in there. But these are a direct attack, more so than ever. Not just stupid stuff. They couldn't do the Red Sea crossing justice. And I don't mean the physical part. They did it pretty good in that old Charlton Heston movie, but they didn't. But they didn't have the Exodus generation right. It was just a few sore heads in the nation that were causing trouble, as I recall. If you're going to report history, just do it right. But they don't respect the Bible on a high level. It is in their depraved self-interest to deny a future reckoning in which everyone will be called to accountability. Hence, the significance of the phrase, following after their own lusts. Once they convince people that there's nothing to worry about in the future with regard to God and judgment and all the rest of it, it opens the door to all kinds of STA activity. Because a normal person, if there's a future judgment, they want to figure out what they need to do to come out on the good side of it. And I've told you this over and over. Believe in Jesus Christ, continue with Bible doctrine until we're out of here. And you won't have a bad experience at the Bema seat because you dropped the ball. For the unbeliever, you better believe in Jesus Christ. But if you just blow that off, you're heading to hell and the lake of fire, body and soul in the final state. And that's the biggest threat over the human race. And it's fair. It was put there because of Adam's original sin and passed on to all of his progeny through procreation. And we're all born and have a sin charged to us before we even know our name. Adam's original sin was charged to your account and mine on the day of our birth. We were spiritually dead. (clears throat) 29, liberals by definition encourage the lust pattern in themselves and their followers. This is all everywhere. This is everywhere, from lectures, books, movies, songs. Look at some of the titles and what they're doing. Telling people to throw off restraints and pursue pleasure. If the Bible is not the inerrant Word of God, that means without error, in any statement. We don't mean we understand all of them. And there's even some verses that seem to be contradictory to one another. But when you get somebody that sorts it out right, you say, oh, that's not a contradiction. When you understand, like, for instance, a quickie, the word salvation, it's used of phase one salvation, and it's used also of deliverance from shame and loss at the judgment seat of Christ. So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. All of us. I don't care how well you think you are and where you think you are. You have been Maranatha Church for decades and mess up and still be here because you've entertained certain things and run with them. And it can just be mental attitude stuff. I don't sit up here, say, oh, I'm okay and everything's fine. I don't know of anything dramatic against me, but I'm still soldiering on. I can have plenty of people tell me I'm not good enough. Oh, and by the way, those who do, what are they doing? What are they doing spiritually? Yeah, you ought to be lecturing somebody. The renewed emphasis on the lust of those that Peter attacks makes it certain that Peter has the same men in view as in chapter 2. They are not different sets of opponents. Intellectual arrogance and contempt for the supernatural characterizes these types. 33, all of this makes them contemptuous of the notion of an apocalyptic judgment inherent in the parousia, coming, of Christ. Anthropocentric hedonism. Anthropocentric means human-centered. Hedonism means let's do what you want. Always mocks. Who was that? What, Church of Christ? Church of Satan guy back in the day. Do what thou... Oh, no, that wasn't him. That was this other guy. Do what thou wilt. I'll remember his name after class is over. He's in hell now. Aleister Crowley. Does the name ring a bell? Oh, he's a gem. Aleister Crowley. He's from yesteryear. You can look him up online. Gag and read what and read his stuff. They gave him degrees and everything. He was a very big time, outspoken person attacking these things. Anthropocentric hedonism. If there's a word in here you don't understand, please look it up. Hedonistic. Anything goes. Anything goes. Anything in the sexual realm goes. Anything in all these things go. Hedonistic. I noticed that Oklahoma is, I don't know if this is true, but I heard it, that they have banned all porno sites from the web. You can't access them in Oklahoma. I don't know. If I'm wrong, tell me. Huh, well, that's a step in the right direction. They should have done this a long time ago. All the youth get a hold of this. It's just, this is the whole thing. Anthropocentric hedonism always mocks the idea of absolutes and a final division of humanity based on belief and unbelief, based on doing the will of God, not doing it. For those who nourish a belief in human self-determination and perfectibility, the very idea that we are accountable and dependent is a bitter pill to swallow. No wonder they mock. For an Old Testament example of a similar situation, see Isaiah 28. Uh, 28:14, I think I got it. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, O scoffers. Now, this is a particular prophecy, and I'll explain it, try to. Now, hear the word of the Lord, O scoffers, who rule this people who are in Jerusalem. Now, let me give you the time frame for this. This is in the trib. And this has to do with those rulers who are going to embrace Alexander the Great as their Messiah. Not convinced yet? Okay. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, O scoffers, who rule this people who are in Jerusalem, because you have said, this is prophetic of something that's not happened yet. We made a covenant with death. Now, I don't know what their frame of reference is, but Alexander has brought back, and it'll be obvious to everybody that part isn't a lie. He is the real deal, Alexander the Great. So he would be a perfect candidate for people to embrace because he will advocate all the things they want to follow under their lust pattern. Plus he's successful. Plus he is brilliant. Plus he is a great public speaker and can sway people and will win one battle after another. Boom, 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 as he heads up the nations of Western Europe, the revived Roman Empire. You know, the feet of clay and iron on that image in Daniel with the 10 toes or the 10 horns that are in Revelation. They will follow him. They will also feel like he's going to deliver them because Israel will be under threat from other nations. Because you have said we've made a covenant with death and with Sheol, we've made a pact. They know where Alexander came from. He came from the underworld. He's been there ever since he died at age 32 at the end of his conquests when he died in Babylon under mysterious conditions. He could have been poisoned, whatever. The overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by. For we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone. This is reference to Christ, a tested stone. They didn't just use any old stone for the temple foundation. The stones had to be perfect, perfectly cut and out of the right material. And they were huge, the foundation ones. A costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. Here's your salvation adjustment, people. He who believes in it will not be disappointed, disturbed, okay. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the level. This is using something to see if something's perfectly level. Then hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the secret place. I don't know what all that is right offhand. Your covenant with death will be canceled, and your pact with Sheol will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, then you become its trampling place. As often as it passes by, it will seize you. From morning after morning, it will pass through any time during the day or night. And it will be sheer terror to understand what it means. The bed is too short on which to stretch out, and the blanket is too small to wrap oneself in. For the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim. He will be stirred up as in the valley of Gibeon to do his task, his unusual task, and to work, his extraordinary work. And now, do not carry on as scoffers, or your fetters will be made stronger, for I have heard from the Lord of the armies of decisive destruction on all the earth. Now, there's a lot to break down in here, and I don't pretend to know every bit of it. I just read it. Some of them claim that the things presented in the book of Revelation were realized during the period of the early Roman emperors. That was a viewpoint. That's stupid. It was called the preterist view. We don't have to discuss and break it down. So there's been all this attack. And I have, in conclusion this evening, pay attention to me. Not your fingers. They're not that important right now. You pay attention to your to the pastor teacher who in the last days is pointing these things out to you. So you will not come up short. I do not want to see you come up short because you have an attitude. This is sound doctrine. We're in the last days. And we have to endure this for a little while. But we're going to be delivered from all of this. And all those who mock, make fun of the Bible, put out this junk of whatever, is going to be shut down. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen. See you Sunday.